welcome to Fiber Hooligan. I'm your host, Benjamin Levesay, and for the next hour or so, I'd like to invite you to grab your cup of coffee, tea, or Diet Dr. Pepper, if that's your beverage of choice, and settle in for the 37th episode of Fiber Hooligan, and that's the first episode of 2014, so happy 2014 to all of you. For those of you who are wondering who the heck I am the CEO of XRX Inc., home of Knitters Magazine, XRX Books, and Stitches Expos. And I'm broadcasting live from my home here in Harrisburg, South Dakota. Before I get to the show today, I thought I'd give you all an update on the podcaster throwdown for Halos of Hope. So in case you missed it on the Naughty Girls Knitcast about 3 weeks ago, there is now an additional way to earn hat points for your team. A $5 donation to your team equals one virtual hat point toward your team's final bragging rights for the throwdown. So for those of you who are just too busy with other things going on in your life to get a hat done for the throwdown, here's another way you can participate. And you can read more about this on the halosofhope.org blog. The money raised for the Halos of Hope through the Halos of Hope website will be used to offset the shipping costs for the hats we're collecting for this campaign. So we now actually have actual hat points and virtual hat points to count for the throwdown and for each team. There's a lot of news going on for the podcast to throwdown, but I think the most interesting news comes for Team Craftlit. Team Craftlit was honored to get a huge boost this week thanks to Carrie McKee of the Yarn Cellar in York, Maine. Carrie sent in 99 hats. Can you believe that? 99 hats. And these were crafted at a nearby correctional facility to her. By teaching these women to craft, she's helping them make some good of the time they're serving, and the women are very excited to be giving back to the community. And I think that's pretty darn cool. So big boon for Team Craftlit, and thank you very much to Carrie McKee. So let me give you the totals. Team Knit More Girls has 169 actual hats and 64 virtual hats for a total of 233 for that team. Team Naughty Girl has 61 hats and 42 virtual hats for a total of 103 for that team. Team Craftlit has got 146 actual hats and 14 virtual hats for a total of 160 for that team. Team Sockaholic has 111 hats, actual hats, and 62 virtual hats for a total of 173 for that team. Team Ready, Set, Knit has 34 actual hats and 7 virtual hats for a total of 41 for that team. And Team Knit Knit Cafe has 2 actual hats and 11 virtual hats for a total of 13 for that team. So there are now 525 actual hats coming into Stitches West so far and 200 additional virtual hat points for the teams. With the addition of the 200 virtual hats at $5 each, we've now raised an additional $1,000, which will help ship 3,225 hats. And that's pretty darn cool. So kudos to everybody that's participating out there. As I said, there's a lot of cool stuff going on, specials, prizes, discounts on hat patterns, all kinds of cool stuff. And so I'm going to invite you to all join us on the podcast to throw down Ravelry group so you don't miss a thing. For all you other fiber arts podcasters, please consider joining the Rumble. We'd love to have you create your own teams or join one of the existing teams. There are no rules. It's all in good fun, and we're here to help Halos of Hope. And please keep listening to Fiber Hooligan. We're going to try to have updates about the podcast to throw down at the top of every show. Okay. My guest today, and I'm very excited to have this man on the show. My guest today is the CEO and co-founder of Craftsy.com. In 2010, he created Craftsy because he believed that there was a better way for people to learn and interact around their passions and hobbies. Prior to Craftsy, he held executive roles at eBay.com and ServiceMagic.com. He joined eBay in 1999 as head of strategy and BD. He helped launch eBay Motors, growing it into a $14 billion a year global business. Later, he ran the business, photo, and music categories on eBay and served as CEO of Cruise International, a 100-employee subsidiary of eBay Motors. Prior to eBay, he spent 6 years at General Electric, graduating from GE's financial management program and corporate audit staff. He received his MBA from the University of Michigan and his BA from Colgate University. He grew up in Spring Valley, Illinois, and comes from a family of crafters. He lives in Denver, Colorado, with his amazing wife, his 2 children, and dog. His hobbies include history, music, photography, movies, cooking, and cake decorating. And we're going to be talking about cake decorating. He is truly a visionary. He has helped bring so much to the fiber arts community. I am so pleased to have him as a guest on the Fiber Hooligan. I'm speaking, of course, of my good friend, John Levesay. John joins us this morning from Denver, Colorado. Good morning, John, and welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Benjamin. It's a pleasure to be on.
You have been on the short list for this show, and I can't believe it took me until the new year to get you on the show. I really appreciate you coming on to the show.
I'm very excited. We've got a lot to talk about.
We sure do. So how's the weather in Denver? Because it's not wonderful here.
It's not warm, I will say that. I got my exercise this weekend. I shoveled the walks at least five times, but it's as is the norm in Denver, after 3 or 4 days of bad weather, it's sunny today. So at least we've got the sun.
You know, I remember the last time I was in Denver, I actually came to see you, and it was winter, and we were walking around outside in just shirt sleeves because it was – there's something about the – it must be the altitude where, you know, there's snow, but it's warm.
Yeah, it's a lot of, you know – Denver's so full of folks that have come from other places, and it's a pretty well-kept secret that we actually get more days of sunshine than California. So there's 315 days a year of sun here. So it's a pretty wonderful, wonderful place.
It sounds like it. Today is the coldest day that South Dakota has had in almost two decades.
Yeah, that's not pleasant at all.
No, it's not. And you know, I feel kind of bad because at the end of this week, of course, I'm heading out to San Diego for TNNA and leaving my family behind in the coldness. And okay, I'm also feeling kind of happy about that too. But you know, I'm not gonna. Oh wait, my wife listens to the show, so I guess I'm in trouble now.
You can Skype from your deck out there.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get right into the interview, and let's start with the most obvious thing. It was up on Ravelry. People were asking the questions. Let's get it out of the way. I get the question all the time, and I think that you've gotten the question at least once or twice, so I'm going to let you answer it. So, John, why do you and Benjamin have the same last name? Are you related or something?
We sure are, and you know, it's very interesting to discover family late in life, and so it's not always a good thing, but in this case it actually really was. So yeah, our grandfathers were brothers, and so we didn't know. I think, Benjamin, when was it? Probably about almost 3 years ago. We connected, and so yeah, we're cousins, and I'm not sure the exact. Probably second or third cousins.
As I understand it, I think if I do the math, we're third cousins. But, you know, I've never been really good at the whole math thing, or actually the family thing, as you well know. I'm not good about staying in touch with family. And you know, for you Fiber Hooligans out there, very rarely do the Levesays ever get together in one big extended family reunion. So that's, you know. But there's a great story I want to tell Fiber Hooligans. So I was about 3 years ago. I was sitting at my computer, and this is back when I was in every kind of social media program known to man, and I was looking at my email and a LinkedIn. LinkedIn is a professional networking. A LinkedIn message came up, and it was this guy. You know, he called himself John Levesay, and he talked about the fact that he was in the fiber arts community, and you know, hey, you know, do we know each other? Are we related? You know, maybe we should talk. And you know, and of course, I immediately thought it was spam, and so deleted it. And because you get those kind of messages, and what is the likelihood that you know that there's a Levesay out there that I don't know? Well, as it turns out, there's a lot of Levesays I don't know. So, and then it was probably a week later, or maybe 2 weeks later, I was talking to my friend Jeannie Randolph from PSD Yarns, and she said, "Hey, what do you know about this Craftsy thing?" And I said, you know, I've been hearing about it. I don't know much about it right now. And she says, well, I'm on their page. Their CEO is a guy named John Levesay. Do you know him? And I said, oh, you know, somebody by that name sent me a spam. And so So I called my dad, who knows a lot about our family than I do, and she says, "Yeah, you know, I think that may be my cousin's kid." And so I got back to you and apologized, and you were gracious enough to accept my apology, and that's how we hooked up.
Yeah, it's interesting when you mention kind of family. I mean, a majority of our family, as you look at it, is spread through what you'd consider to be smaller Midwestern towns, which it's not an urban-centric family where there would have been logical kind of proximity for reunions. I mean, it seems like the Levises are spread throughout Iowa, the Dakotas, Minnesota, and Illinois, and it's kind of, I think, difficult historically for people to get together. And social media is you know, has a lot of downsides, I think, but one of the good sides is it's allowed and facilitated kind of connection with relatives, which is nice.
Yeah, yeah, it really is nice. Well, you know,
as long as they don't rebuff you for spam.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I knew I was going to get that. I had that coming. I totally had that coming. Oh, yeah, I totally had that coming. So, okay, so now that we've answered the question, folks, it's there. You know, we are, I think, third cousins. I know our dads are cousins, and I met your dad. Your dad came in through Sioux Falls, and so I had dinner with him. He's an awesome guy. But we didn't know each other until, like, the last 3 years. So, you know, it's not like John and I grew up together or anything like that.
Yep.
Yep. All right. Well, enough of that. Let's get onto it. So let's give our listeners a little background about you. Tell us about your family and where and how you grew up.
Oh, sure. So, you know, my folks both grew up in a town called Princeton, Illinois. They were high school sweethearts and ended up getting married. Had me kind of, my father was in medical school. I think it was a bit unplanned. They were married at the time, but were not quite ready to have kids, but did. So I guess that's fortunate for me. And the day my dad graduated medical school, he got drafted for Vietnam. So we spent about the next 8 or 9 years bouncing around the country at various military bases, which was great. I didn't know the difference, that you didn't just move every year. So when I was about 10 years old, we came back to Illinois, to central Illinois. Grew up there. I have two brothers, Justin and Pete, who are both doctors currently back in Illinois. My father's a physician as well, just retired. Yeah, that's kind of where we grew up, Spring Valley, Illinois, town of 4,400 people. It was a great place to grow up. And when it came time for college, I kind of decided I wanted to test out a new part of the country. So I went to New York, to Colgate University for undergrad, and majored in history and English. Thought I was going to be a teacher. And then kind of... you know, my dad had told me growing up, if you want to make me happy, you can be a doctor. And if you want to disappoint me, you can be a lawyer. Those are your two options. And with that on the table, both my brothers went the make him happy route. I kind of thought I was going to be a teacher and then ended up going to General Electric to work out of college in finance and accounting, which was a new thing for me. But I always kind of wanted to be an entrepreneur and kind of start and run businesses. And in order to do that, I knew I had to learn something about finance and accounting. So as painful as that is, I went and spent 6 years at GE, learning the numbers, really, and seeing a lot of, once again, traveling the country to such garden spots as Erie, Pennsylvania, and Louisville, and Schenectady, New York, and Cincinnati to a lot of the different GE businesses.
So there you come, you know, you're, and folks, you know, you John is an unbelievably successful entrepreneur and businessman, but you weren't a doctor. And I have spoken to your father, so I know he's proud of you. But you know, that had to be
he's welcome to pass that on.
Well, yeah, I will. You've done a lot of things. Now, you know, I didn't know about the GE thing when we first met. Instead, we talked about your time at eBay. And, you know, of course, eBay is a big deal. You eventually found yourself out in the Bay Area, and you went to work for eBay. Can you tell us about that experience, how you got going?
Absolutely. It was a pretty exciting time. It was around 1999, and a friend of mine who I had worked with at GE called me and said, I'm at this little company in San Jose called eBay, and love to have you come out and work with me here. And, you know, it's hard for all of us to remember, 1999 isn't that long ago, but that was a day and age where, you know, the internet was essentially AOL at the time. And, you know, people were nervous to buy a book over the internet still. And to think of how far we've come in this short period is amazing. But I loved the concept, even before I started working at eBay, of just kind of giving, you know, for this egalitarian notion that anyone can buy and sell on the internet. It was very intriguing. And the kind of the niche communities, what people perceive to be niche communities but aren't really niche at all, they're huge communities. And I think, you know, we'll talk about this, but this is one of the reasons that we started Craftsy is at eBay we saw the power of kind of passionate enthusiast groups and how just how people are engaged. I mean, some of the categories on eBay, you're just amazed that there's tens of thousands of people who collect globes or kind of pottery and glass from a certain time period and are just incredibly passionate and knowledgeable about it. And so I loved the concept of eBay and went there, and then was asked to kind of start and run with some other folks there the automotive area. And I think, you know, as we discussed, or I just said, in 99, people were still nervous about buying a book on the internet. And I think there was some real discussion of how the heck are people ever going to buy a car on the internet. But we believed that that's where it would go. And you know, we put a lot of things in place for buyer protection to make people feel comfortable doing it. And, you know, it really took off. So it was a wonderful experience to, you know, start somewhere when there were 200 people. When I left 6.5 years later, there were 13,000 employees there. So it was a pretty amazing ride. Being there, a lot of smart people, very just a fun time.
Well, yeah, and I've always been impressed by eBay. I remember it was probably 2004 or 2005, I read an article about just a group of people that were using eBay to trade and buy Pez dispensers,
yep.
Which I thought was well, you probably remember that article, right? It was a big article. It was out. It was amazing. Who knew that there were so many Pez dispenser enthusiasts in the world?
Yeah, it's amazing. And we're seeing the same thing here at Craftsy. I mean, you know, in fourth quarter, we had people from 196 different countries enroll in classes on the site. So it's just... I mean, you forget there are 196 countries. we tend to think of kind of the top 30 to 40, and it's just amazing.
Now, from eBay, you went on to Cruise International. I don't know much about Cruise International. Can you tell us about that?
Oh, sure. So eBay bought Cruise International. It was kind of an extension of the virtual you know, auction world. And it was a live auctioneer that had about 50 live collector car auctions around the country. So where people would actually physically go and kind of touch and feel cars, mainly, you know, cars from the 30s through the 70s, kind of what are considered to be collectible or classic cars. And so that was a really, you know, kind of interesting experience, because you realize in that world there are people who are only interested in kind of Buicks from 1954 to 1957, and it, like any other hobby, there are niches and sub kind of genres within the hobby. So it was really interesting to see how the virtual and the live melded, much as you and I have talked about, kind of with your events now, the Stitches events, people, there's a huge, in addition to the technical learning, there's just such a visceral social element to any hobby, and I think particularly so in the fiber arts, where people want to connect with other enthusiasts in person. And so the collector car business is very similar in that aspect. So it was neat to see the kind of the blending of the live and online.
Yeah, and you served as CEO of that company once it was taken over.
Yes, correct.
And it got big. It got big after you took it over.
Yeah, it got big. I mean, it's. I think there's a, you know, the whole collector car business, the internet kind of served to really expand visibility of it. And so a lot of people said, oh, I really want that, you know, that 1950 Mercury that I saw when I was a kid. But they didn't know where to find it, and they didn't know it was affordable. And the internet expanded the collector car business, and you know, it was in a small town in Auburn, Indiana, was where it was based, and we saw amazing growth. It was challenging, but it was a great experience.
Well, let's take a little tangent out of your work experience, and because we're going to come back to eBay in a way. You're a rock and roll man. Let's talk about your foray into the rock and roll world. For the fiber hooligans that don't know this about John, he is a guitarist. Let's talk about your first band that you put together.
Oh, Benjamin, I love talking about this, but I'm also somewhat mildly embarrassed to talk about it, just because I'm frankly not a great musician. But much like my strategy here at Craftsy, it's always surround yourself with people who are way better than you, and it will elevate your level of success. So I was actually in business school in the late 90s, and I sent out an email and I'd already always kind of just played guitar on my own. And I sent out an email to the entire business school saying I'd like to form a band. Anyone interested? And it was kind of an odd situation. I had about 50 people respond that they wanted to, and it kind of was reminiscent of that movie The Commitments, if you remember that, when they were sort of interviewing people, were just showing up to interview for the band. And I ended up finding three or four guys I really clicked with, and kind of had similar tastes in music, and we formed a band, and we started slowly and started playing, and then we got a lot of gigs around the Ann Arbor area, and we actually got pretty good. You know, not as much to my credit as the other folks that were there, who are amazing musicians, and guys like Brian Osborne, who's now at Shutterfly, and Alex Holderness, who has you know, worked with us here at Craftsy and at eBay as well. And these guys are real pros, and ended up all kind of, you know, we played around in the Midwest, and then they ended up all coming to work for eBay. So we ended up forming a band at eBay and playing there and kind of continuing.
That's the next thing I want to go to, because the eBay band was a big deal. There's a great story about the eBay band, and if you don't give yourself all the praise for this thing, I'm going to interrupt you and tell people what you're not saying, John. So tell them the story, because it's awesome.
Okay. So Fortune magazine every year does this kind of corporate battle of the bands. They want to figure out who's the best band, intra-company band in the world. And so they put out this contest, and over 5,000 bands from around the world submitted. You had to record 3 songs and submit a CD. We did that. We made it to the next round, miraculously. And then you play a series of kind of regional eliminations, and somehow we just kept winning, and we made it down to the final 8, and they invite the final 8 to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland. And so we flew out to Cleveland, and actually for a bunch of, at this point, middle-aged, slightly doughy business guys to get a chance to go play at the Rock Hall of Fame was an experience of a lifetime, and just going would have been enough. And then we ended up we heard some of the other bands there, and we thought, oh gosh, there's no way we can win here. And we ended up winning there too. So out of 5,000 bands, we were chosen as the best one. And so that was an amazing experience, kind of every guy's dream to be up on stage and play. And then there happened to be a rock promoter there from Australia who saw us and approached us afterwards and said, I'm putting together a tour in Australia with a bunch of bands, and I'd love you guys to come down and play a lot of these gigs. And so we got the opportunity to fly to Australia and play, and I'd never been to Australia, which was just a wonderful place. We went to, we're all around Sydney and up the kind of east coast of the country. So it was a dream come true. Sometimes in my down moments, I think back on those times, and it was a wonderful, wonderful experience.
So, and I believe you tell the story, there is a picture of your band actually in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, correct?
There is. I have not been back. It's been almost 10 years, but I occasionally, when friends of mine are visiting the Rock Hall of Fame, at least on 2 or 3 occasions, they've texted me a picture. There's a little plaque up. It happens to be outside the men's room at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So
high traffic
I don't know.
Area.
It is a high traffic area, and that's the positive. I don't know that it's probably prime real estate as far as the hallowed halls of the Rock, Hall of Fame go, but it is a high traffic area, and people have seen it. So at some point, I'm going to wait till the kids are old enough. I'm going to bring them there and just kind of surreptitiously wander by it and point out, oh my, Dad's here. So yeah.
Oh, I've got a question from the chat. I thought we better answer it. What was the band's name?
The band was called Negative Feedback, which was kind of a play on words, an eBay pun. But it was, Negative Feedback was the name of the band.
That's awesome. That's awesome. No, so Fiber Hooligans, you thought you were getting a business tycoon and a fiber arts advocate. Instead, I gave you a rock star today. So this is a great show. All right. So at some point, you met one of what I consider the smartest and funniest people I've ever heard, at least read online. I've never met her. You married Katie. When and where did you meet Katie?
So It's kind of a long story and a short story. After I left eBay, I kind of, I was a single guy. I was in my mid-30s, and I'd never really traveled. So I went right to work out of college. And I took some time and I went by myself and I traveled around the world for about 7 months. And when I came back to San Jose, where I was living at the time, to kind of take a break, and I was going to refuel and then kind of head back, head west to China and Asia. And I thought, gosh, it's kind of good to be home. I'm going to take some time here. And a friend of mine, you know, and I, at the point I was in my mid to late 30s, I wasn't going out much socially, and I wasn't really meeting anyone. And so someone suggested that I get on Match.com. So I got on Match.com, and it didn't really click initially. And then I got an email from Match.com saying, "We have found your perfect match." And there was a picture of Katie and her bio, and we started emailing each other, and it was about, by our fifth or sixth email, we had really hit it off. And then I realized that she was actually moving from San Francisco, from the Bay Area to San Diego. And so she was 6 days from moving, 6 hours away. And we said, what the heck? We really hit it off. Let's go have dinner. And so we went and had dinner, and 5 months later we were engaged, and a year later we were married. So it was kind of, I would say, Katie calls it love at first sight. I say love at second sight. It took me to the second date to know. Yeah, so that's kind of, it's a weird story, like how technology kind of actually facilitated me meeting my wife. And it was kind of random, but it was, I'm very thankful.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Katie, because for the fiber hooligans that don't know about Katie, really a fascinating woman. She is actually Dr. Katie Levesay, and she was a former member of the San Diego Chargers medical staff. What is her doctorate in?
So she's a PhD in neuropsychology. I always kind of... It's complicated, Benjamin. It's an interesting field, but it's essentially, the study of the brain, both from a chemical and physiological perspective, but also on how it manifests itself in behavioral and cognitive issues. So it's an interesting field, and I'm sure I probably just slaughtered the medical description of it, but it's the science element where psychiatry meets psychology, and it's a fascinating field.
And she is currently on staff at the university in Denver, correct?
She was teaching there for the first 2 or 3 years we moved here, and she is she had formerly been at in San Diego at the Memory and Aging Center there. And she taught here for a few years, and now she's kind of, I think, figuring out what her next move is, whether she opens up a private practice, or kind of, she's also developed quite a passion for writing, and she may want to, explore that. So I encourage her to do whatever she wants, and whether that utilizes her degree directly or not, I think we'll see. We've had two kids in pretty short order here in the last few years, so she's had her hands definitely full there.
Yeah. Well, I've never been a patient of hers. I imagine she's an excellent doctor. And hey, your dad's got to be happy. At least there's another doctor in the family. I mean, he's got to be happy about that. I know Katie mostly from her writing. And, folks, you have no idea how funny this woman is. She truly could be the next Dave Barry of our world. It is smart. It is funny. It's irreverent. It's not politically correct. She writes for a free online magazine called The Flip Collective, and she writes for a subscription-based magazine called Cartel Magazine. And every single time she publishes something, I bring it upstairs and I read it to the family, who die laughing. I mean, this is a very, very funny gal who, and nothing is off the table for her to speak about.
Yeah, she's got a wonderful sense of humor, and So not only did I marry someone who's smarter and better looking than I am, but she's also a lot funnier. So she's really found a niche, combining the kind of the science, neuroscience, and just kind of her comedic perspective on a lot of life events that, it's great to read. She's really got a talent there.
Well, she does. And would you mind if I share one of the stories that she, it's a little personal. It's the one that concerns you. Can I?
Of course. All right. This is public record.
All right. So not to get too graphic or anything, but Katie wrote this article. And as somebody that's gone through this myself, I found it very interesting. And full disclosure here, folks, she wrote about the day that John went in for his vasectomy. She called it V-Day. And the narration of this thing, well, first of all, you got to love the fact that there is nothing. There is nothing that is, she won't speak about. The nanny interview or the nanny conversation between you two, one of the first pieces that I read. But there she is, and I remember the line where she was talking about you being brought out from after the procedure and you doing a market analysis on the gross profit for these procedures. It was just perfect. It was amazing.
Yeah, it's funny. It's an interesting topic in general because, I've been in the room for two births of my children, and the level of severity of the procedures, if you will, is such night and day. The vasectomy takes probably under a minute and a half when all is said and done, and yet a majority of our gender, Benjamin, make it out to be the most cataclysmic and traumatic event ever. And I think part of Katie's article was just kind of poking fun at what giant babies us men are.
Yes. Yes, I agree. John, I'm gonna stop you real quickly there. I've got a guest caller that wants to chime in really quickly. Guest, I'm about to put you on the air. Can you make sure that you turn the volume down on your computer so I don't get the echo of death? And guest caller, you're on the air.
Yes, this is John Levitay's amazing wife.
Oh, boy.
Benjamin, I miss you.
I miss you.
You need
too.
To come back onto Facebook.
You know, Katie,
it's dreadful without you.
You really did marry up, John.
Okay, I'm not going to take over this interview. I promise my stay here will be brief, and I'm going to say two things right off the bat, if that is okay.
Okay.
First of all, Benjamin, I didn't realize you and I had so much in common until this interview. Did you know that I, too, rebuffed my first message from John Levitay? I mistook it for spam. We have that in common.
Okay.
I said, what is this coming through on Match? Who is this creeper? Okay, now I'm gonna filter myself and then move to the second point, and that is I promised to behave myself. I wanted to assure John that I could not call in unless I promised to behave because I can be a little bit irreverent. I understand that, and so I'm not even going to continue with that line of communication. and say that I want to behave myself because I have so much respect for you, Benjamin, and this entire fiber arts community. Suzette, Jeannie, everybody I've met online, I've been blown away. And it really is a community that I knew very little about, being so challenged in that area of artistic expression myself. And it's been so much fun, I think, for both for John and I to really discover what a family this is. John, you said it so eloquently. It's just viscerally social. It's a community that supports each other, a community of artists that support each other as a family. And I don't think you see that in any other artistic community or to that degree. You know, you see other artists trying to be unique and compete, and it doesn't have the same feeling as the fiber arts community. And I think that's something that is very underplayed and I find heartwarming and inspiring, and I think I want to write about. And the other important component to that is what I know John wants to write about. You know, I keep on him about getting this done. I guess he has a couple other things on his plate, like running companies and apparently shoveling the walks multiple times a day, purportedly, so he's not able to get along around to the writing. But it's that this community also, hasn't received their fair share of props and their due as artists, and often gets cast as hobbyists or niche, a niche group. And it is not. It is an artistic community that, that you know, you all have shown through your amazing get-togethers and conferences and just a number of people who are so supportive of each other and so amazingly talented. So anyway, that's my blurb there.
No, it's wonderful. Thank you for calling in, John. I didn't mean to hijack you, but when I saw that she was calling in, I just had to.
My final thing is that, I'm interrupting again. I cannot believe the humility, John, in your description of your band days, because this is the last story I will share, I promise. I believe it was our first or second date after I had to fish out your first email out of my spam folder asking for a date. I think you were cooking me dinner, weren't you? Which
was
amazing. And wait a minute, love at first sight? That's not how I describe it. I think I usually describe it as I was flipped a roofie and then woke up 3 or 4 months later engaged and knocked up. I'm sorry. Now I'm getting ahead of myself. But anyway, it was our second date. We had a wonderful dinner. I think John cooked like a 3 or 4 course meal. I was taking pictures of it and sending it to my friends and mom saying, this is amazing. I don't know what any of this is because I, you know, can barely boil water, but we sat down on the couch to watch a movie, I believe it was. And it actually didn't turn out to be a movie, but I won't go into that story either. It was a weird documentary. But anyway, so we started watching. He turns on the, you know, AV system, which is, of course, extensive, and all of a sudden starts fumbling around, and this big vision of a concert comes on the screen. And, oh, my goodness, what is this? How did this get in here? Oh, what is this? Like, wait, you know, I got to get this DVD off. I got to get the TV on. I'm sorry. Bear with me for a minute. And there do I see this concert of Negative Feedback, John and crew. I think it was your Australia concert, wasn't it, after you had won the Battle of the Bands, playing for me, while you, the AV master, the eBay...
I have no recollection of this.
God, couldn't figure out how to get that DVD off, and that it just happened to be in there. So,
you gotta come strong with your good points.
That's true, with the one that you fell in love with at second sight.
Oh, thank you for jumping in here, Katie.
You're welcome. I love you both, and this has just been fascinating. Thank you for all of your support, Benjamin, and everyone's support. And, this is a very interesting interview.
Thanks, Katie. We'll see you tonight.
Okay. Love you, babe. Bye, guys.
Take care, Katie. Bye. Had to.
Okay.
Had to.
Wow.
So,
all right.
Yeah, I know. You guys, you totally got, you got blindsided there. That was fun. She's never going to come on the show again. Either that or you'll only do it when Katie's on vacation and she doesn't know.
Yeah, Hopefully there's no more surprise callers.
No. I was going to have her on, but she was in the chat room, actually, and she said, I'm calling
funny.
In, and I saw, and I went, yeah. Yeah, you know, for those few folks, Katie is really that funny. I really recommend, get up to Flip Collective online or Cartel Magazine and read her stuff, because it's good for a belly laugh anytime you want it. All right, let's move on, because this goes to the next bin. You, Katie mentioned it. You decided to have kids, and you have two kids, and why don't you tell us their names and how old they are?
Okay, so Karen, who's our oldest, she will be 6 in a few months, and Thomas, who's our youngest, he will be 2 in 3 days. So yeah. Boy and a girl, Thomas and Karen.
And again, this is something I kid you about all the time, because, you know, I had my last kid when I was in my 30s. How old were you when these kids were born? I mean, you were in your 40s.
Yeah, I was 40 when Karen was born. And 44 when Thomas was born. So it's amazing to think about it. When my dad dropped me off at college, he was 4 years younger than I am now. And I've got a two-year-old. And life's interesting. I mean, I can't imagine in some ways. I don't think I was emotionally capable of being the dad that I am now, hopefully, when I was 22 or 23. And people tell me you adjust, and you do what it takes when you're young to grow up quickly to be able to be a good parent. But it's tough being an older parent in some ways, because it requires unbelievable amount of energy, and worrying. You know, but it's also nice in some ways to be a little more on in years, because some other things have kind of settled down in your life, and you can enjoy it. So, you know, my only regret there is that I didn't meet Katie 10 years earlier, because I think we would have 2 or 3 more. But that ship has sailed, obviously, based on...
Well, there's an article, yeah.
So yeah, it's been wonderful. I love both of them dearly, and it's been a great kind of centering thing for me personally to have these little creatures that are dependent on you, and it's been great.
Well, you know, the thing that always strikes me is that, you know, you talk about it being settled down. Your life is not settled down. I mean, you work all the time, John. I mean, you do. You work all the time. And because your company is, you know, really, you know, it's growing, and there's stuff going on, and you're developing new product, you know, and you're in your 40s. I mean, I wasn't working nearly as much as you're working now when I was in my 30s, or even in my 20s when I had my first children. And still, the sleep deprivation, and, you know, it drags you down. I actually can't imagine doing the feedings at 40. So you're obviously in better shape mentally and physically than I am.
I'm trying. I don't need much sleep, which is great. I can get by in about 5.5 to 6 hours a night and feel okay. And it's just, you know, the two things in my life right now are this company and my family. And I spend, you know, my time between the two. And it's been, yeah, it's hard, but it keeps me, I think it keeps me young, and it keeps me on my toes. It's been a good ride. You know, I don't think I can sustain the work pace forever, but it's, I've definitely got, I've got, you know, 10 years of this pace left in me. So, you know, it's, if you love what you do, which I sincerely love what we're doing here at Craftsy, it, it doesn't feel onerous. It's something I'm very passionate about, and I just enjoy.
Well, that's a good way. Let's segue into Crassi.com. We've talked about you personally, your work history. We managed a surprise guest from your wife, which is awesome. Let's talk about your history with Crassi. Where did the idea of Crassi come from?
So, yeah, it was around 2010. And myself and a couple of the co-founders, I no discussion of Crassi is complete without mentioning kind of Josh Scott and Todd Tobin and Brett Hanna. These are guys that I was working with at the time, and we all sat down and thought about what is it that is a personal need of ours, where there's a confluence of technology that is just, we're on the cusp of here, that would facilitate a kind of, an intersection with a social need, where technology and a social need meet. And we kept coming back to education, and that a majority of online education offerings were subpar. And that the promise of the internet, much as we talked about back during how eBay did it for commerce, the promise of the internet, which was kind of anytime, anywhere access and breaking down geographic barriers and, democratizing access for people, was not being fulfilled. Because in the education world 3 or 4 years ago, you still had kind of, poorly produced YouTube videos, instructional videos, or PowerPoint with a voiceover, which were subpar learning experiences. And most, if not all, online education experiences at the time were very passive in nature, that you essentially sat and watched. And we believed there was a better way. So we started... We left our current jobs, and which was kind of a scary thing, all having families, and raised a little money from kind of scraped together from friends and family to pay the bills, and started building what is now the Crassi platform. And that took us about 6 months. Brett and Todd are amazing engineers. And we built the platform, and the platform, for those who haven't been on, is predicated on that education should be an interactive experience. So in other words, if you're at 2 minutes, 30 seconds into a video lesson and you have a question, you shouldn't have to just sit on that, or you should be able to ask it right then and there. And then when you ask that question on our platform, it's tagged to 2 minutes and 13 seconds in the lecture. The instructor gets a message, and they can answer, and they will answer you, usually within 24 hours, often much sooner than that. And the answer then stays at two minutes, 13 minutes in the video, to the right of the video. So you get a direct answer. But subsequently, any student who watches that video sees your question and the instructor's answer, and they can jump in, and it creates this like kind of virtual cycle of communication and social interaction around content. We also wanted to give people the ability to take notes and go back to the parts that they want to rewatch or re-see. And so, long story short, we built this platform, which we think is the best online educational platform out there. And then we had to, none of us knew anything about video production. So we hired a woman named Emily Lawrence who is, really kind of driven, ex-college professor and kind of really has a great educational mindset, but also a great production mindset. And so we started making classes, and we made classes initially along a pretty broad scope of topics, but the ones that really took off and that we saw traction with were a quilting class and a knitting class. And, you know, being a kind of cash-starved startup, we knew we had to double down on what was working. So we started making more knitting and quilting classes. And the you know, unlike YouTube or other companies in the educational space that kind of have this notion of democratizing the supply side where anyone can teach a class if given the platform, we went about it in a different way. And our philosophy was what we want to do is find the best instructors in the world and who may not be, while they're domain experts in knitting or quilting, they may not be experts in video production, digital marketing, or technical platform building. So we wanted to allow them to do what they do best, and we would take care of the production side and produce top quality educational long form video delivered through this interactive platform. And so that's what we did, and it's been the kind of reception among the fiber arts community has been amazing. We've given people from all over the world access to the best instructors in the world. And it's really taken off in the last 3 years. So I apologize, Benjamin, if that was a long-winded
answer. No, it was good. It's very good. It goes into what we were talking about. I came up there shortly after you guys had started. You just moved into new facilities. And I think when I came up there, there maybe were 15 or 20 of you working for the company. Was that about right?
Yes. That is exactly. There was five of us to start, and we ended up, I think when you came down, we were at about 17 employees.
And where are you at right now for number of employees?
We're at 150 now.
So it's growing real fast.
It is, and a majority of those employees are on the video production side. So, you know, we have five studios now that are pretty much filming 6 days a week and across a number of categories. So we have a large production team, and then we have a lot of engineers as well who are building our mobile apps for you know, iPhone and tablet, as well as the kind of online desktop application.
Well, it's a pro operation. Many of our Stitches teachers and a lot of my friends have taught over there. I've got Myra Wood right in the chat room right now, who raves about the Craftsy experience. And the last time I was there, Stephanie Jappel took me over, and you guys were recording a short row class. I mean, it's all pro. I mean, it's an amazing setup you have there to produce and to get just the quality of video production that you get. I mean, it's truly remarkable.
Our fundamental philosophy, and Benjamin, I think you have a identical philosophy, is we are only as good as our last interaction with our community. And therefore, every video we produce, we want people to be amazed and delighted and to really take away learning outcomes and that it's edutainment, that they have a good time taking them. The classes, and so we spend countless hours on each and every video, both making sure the kind of arc from an educational perspective is great, as well as the production quality and motion graphics. Oftentimes, we have animators here that will bring a given stitch or technique into three dimensions and rotate it so that people can really understand how a given technique works. We're kind of maniacally focused on high quality production, because it's what separates us from free, and we like to say here, we are better than free.
You are, and you know, it's funny. Myra Wood just commented that she's not only a teacher but an avid craftsy student too. I think the people that are exposed to your educational product get hooked pretty quickly. My own partner, Elaine Rowley, and our editor, Rick Mondragon, watch your quilting classes all the time. They just can't get enough of them. And that's something else I wanted to talk about because, you know, fiber hooligans, you know, they tend to do other things too. Can you tell us about the verticals that you're in for online education?
Oh, of course. And this is something that we really let our community dictate what categories we go into. We like to say here that we are passionately dispassionate. I don't know, as a non-lifelong kind of personal crafter, we need the community feedback to tell us what they want to learn and in what categories. And so, as I said, we started kind of in quilting and knitting, and pretty quickly migrated into crochet, into sewing, which is now one of our biggest categories, jewelry making, cake decorating is one of our fastest growing categories, which is a hugely complex kind of ecosphere of techniques and projects. And the cake decorating, I mean, some of the things, if you go to craftsy.com and look at the cake decorating, there's some cakes that are being made, you know, the sculpted handbag cake and the dog cake. I mean, from 2 or 3 feet away, you actually think these are real. Like it's a real dog or it's a real handbag. It's amazing skill. We've recently launched a photography category, which is doing very well, which ranges everything from family photography to kind of product photography. We launched our art category, which primarily painting and drawing, which has done well. And our biggest new category is actually food and cooking. And we bring in great chefs from around the world, whether it's, you know, ethnic and regional cuisine, French, Italian, Thai, to kind of new twists on you know, kind of traditional American cuisine. So cooking's doing very well, and you know, once again, our differentiating factor there is it's not a TV show where they kind of have to squeeze it into 22 minutes, and they walk you through a little kind of overview, and then they pull the finished product out from under the counter. That can be very inspirational, but it's not necessarily educational, and so, you know, a lot of our classes, as we design them in the cooking area, are here's the 20 things that can go wrong and how to avoid them. And it truly makes you a better cook that you can then apply to your own recipes. So, yeah, it's amazing the kind of the depth of categories we're going into, and we just continue to listen to our community and give them what they want. You know, a great example of that is another category. We heard a lot of our knitters and crocheters saying they wanted spinning and weaving classes. And so we have a rigid heddle class that's done very well. And this spring we're bringing out some more content in the spinning and weaving area. And, you know, you and I have talked about kind of, you mentioned Myra, obviously a superstar instructor. Steph Jappel has been great. You know, Fiona Ellis has a wonderful cabling class. Shirley Payton has a hand-knit garment design class. Stephen West, wonderful shawlscapes class. Uni Jang, who's actually one of our folks here, has a choose-your-own sweater class. Mary J. Mucklestone, a Fair Isle vest class. The depth of kind of content is amazing. I think we just passed 300 courses on the site. Now, So it's been a pretty exciting ride. And, you know, most of the classes are between 2.5 and kind of 4 hours long, divided into 20-minute lessons. And once you buy it, you own it for life. So we see people kind of watching it repeatedly and using it as a reference material.
Yeah, it is amazing. And for fiber hooligans that don't know this, and we've talked about it on other shows, you know, you can preview a class. There's oftentimes, you know, the first chapter or two or the intro that's out there for free. But you also do great things. Like, for instance, I believe one of Fiona's classes is free. I mean, you do put up some free classes to say, okay, here's our gift to the knitting and crochet world.
Absolutely. I mean, we not only have free classes and allow folks to kind of sample a little bit of content from our paid classes, but we also have a 100% money back guarantee. And so, you know, we just believe that's the way to go. If it's not the class for you, then that's okay. And 90% of the time when people email or call in and want to use the guarantee, it's not that they weren't happy with the product. They just feel, I like this, it's wonderful, but it's not quite what I wanted. And most of the time, they just want to be swapped into a different class. And we do that, and we believe in it. And, you know, a lot of companies have 100% money-back guarantees, but they make it really difficult to actually kind of enact or take advantage of that. We make it straightforward, and we believe in it. And I think that's why our customers keep coming back.
Well, you guys do have that whole fanatical customer service response thing, and I love it. But I think, you know, that's part of the pie. The other part of the pie is not, okay, you've got great technology, and you've got an interactive format that the customers and the instructors enjoy, because I've talked to many of your instructors. But there's also homework and support materials and sometimes a package that goes with it, supplies for the class. Can you talk about wrapping that all up and making it, you know, something that makes sense for people?
Oh, of course. It's we really believe everyone learns differently. Some of us are visual learners. Some are kind of more audible. They need to hear something. And a lot of people like to read it, too. So our classes are closed captioned, so you can read the transcript of the classes. All of our classes come with downloadable patterns and course materials that you could use kind of as a backup as well. And as you mentioned, Benjamin, a lot of our classes come with, you can order a kit that comes with the class that will be delivered to your door days later if you want to make the exact sweater or accessory that's in the class. We'll deliver the yarn to your door, as well as, for example, in sewing, often you can get the printed pattern delivered to your door as well. So we really feel like it needs to be not only great video product and interaction with your fellow students and instructor, but be able to have backup course materials and get the physical product that you need to make your project delivered to your door.
Well, and I think that this is one of those things where, and you and I have talked about it, craftsy.com is so synonymous with online education that I think there are people out there that don't know that there's more than that on the Craftsy site. I mean, there's a community that you can belong to and show off your patterns and things like this, but there's also, like, a great online store. And for folks that don't know about that, I'd love for you to talk a bit about it.
Oh, well, of course. It's just so, as you mentioned, there's an area on Craftsy for people to post their projects and get kind of feedback and browse other people's projects, their kind of finished items that they've made. And we all love getting feedback on kind of what we've made, and it's so positive, and the community is so positive. The other thing you mentioned is the patterns marketplace. So we have tens of thousands of patterns, many of them free. If you go to craftsy.com and just look at and go to the patterns marketplace, there's independent designers that are selling their patterns, and there's also a lot of free patterns. And the last thing you mentioned is supplies. And this is, you know, once again, an area where we listened to our community. And they told us they wanted a one-stop shop for education as well as the yarn that they use to bring these beautiful kind of designs to life. So we started really slowly, and we started we created a supplies area on the site and started putting yarn up for sale, and it's done amazingly well. People love it, and we curate kind of the brands we carry. We carry an extensive catalog of kind of brands, colors, weights, and different fibers to really inspire and delight the most discerning enthusiasts. So, we carry numerous collections from the brands, from multiple brands like Art Yarns, Cascade, Rowan, Lorna's Laces, Lion Brand, Brown Sheep, Stacey Charles, Miss Babs. Like we just have a huge selection of yarns in multiple weights and different fiber content that people have really come to love.
Well, you do, but you also put together kits from designers. I mean, good yarn too, but also kits from designers with patterns. Myra Wood in the chat room just reminded me that she bought a gorgeous K-Facet quilt kit. So you're doing this in all your verticals.
We are, we want to essentially be there for our community at any stage they are in their hobby, whether it's beginner, advanced, intermediate, or someone who knows what they want to make and wants to come find yarn for it, or someone, as you just mentioned, who's looking for kind of one-stop shop for inspiration and product. So, we want to provide kind of a fast, easy, and fun way to embark on your next project, and that's why we created project kits. So, each project kit comes with a professionally designed pattern and all the, yarn or fiber you need to make the project. So, for example, in Fiber Arts, we have project kits available right now, scarves, shawls, hats, blankets, sweaters, great art to see kind of what it looks, what the finished product looks like, and then the pattern and the yarn kind of delivered to your door. So the pattern automatically downloads, you have it immediately, and then within a couple of days, the yarn will arrive at your door. So it's great. Our customers really love it. In fact, the woman who runs our and guy who run our e-commerce area, they obviously are avid subscribers to your magazine and have been to multiple of the Stitches shows, and they wanted to kind of reach out with a offer for your Fiber Hooligan listeners to kind of check out our yarn and project kit area at a 20% discount. So it would only be for the Fiber Hooligan listeners, and we'd love to extend that offer today. So
Well, thank you very much, John. Thank your team for us. What's the way that Fiber Hooligans can take advantage? And I understand this is 20% off of the e-commerce store for Craftsy, and it's good until the end of Wednesday. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, I know with your podcast, some people, you know, you have a lot of people listening today, but also a lot of people like to listen to it a day or two after. So they will put that live. It should be live now, and it's craftsy.com/fiberhooligan.
Right, craftsy.com/fiberhooligan. Right, so Fiber Hooligans, just craftsy.com/fiberhooligan. Get up there. You have till the end of Wednesday, and the good folks at Craftsy, John and his partners and the team, are offering us 20% off on the site. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Oh, our pleasure. We, you know, they've got a great selection there, and you know, happy to kind of you know, we're all about to get our credit card bills from the holidays, so seeing a nice sale now is helps us all.
Well, I appreciate it. So one of the things that I love about, I get all of your e-newsletters, and you have this fun thing that you do called the Mystery Box of Yarn. Can you tell us about that? Because I just think that's a kick.
Yeah, it's something that has resonated amazingly well with our customers, where it's kind of, and we don't do it kind of as a standing inventory. We do it as kind of a surprise or a treat to our community, where we will list a mystery box where you're not sure what you're going to get, but it's usually $100 plus worth of yarn, and the mystery boxes are usually $40 or $50. So it's almost a, it's just an intro to Craftsy, and it's a fantastic value, and people are consistently surprised and delighted with the contents of the box. And in fact, I would love to, just for your listeners, today, let's do something fun. Let's give away a couple of them. And
that sounds great. Let me give you the number, folks. I'm going to take some calls. We're going to give away. Should we give away two on the air today, John?
That sounds great. That sounds
all
great.
All right. The number of folks to call in is, you bet, is 718-664-9655. That's 718-664-9655. And we're going to give away two on the air today. And John has been gracious enough to say that we are also going to give two away on our Ravelry group. We'll select those randomly and give them away next week on the episode. So I've got a caller here. And again, folks, when I make you live, it would be great if you could turn down your volume so we don't get the echo of death. Otherwise, I have to hang up on you. And here we go. Area code 847. You're on the air.
Oh, that's me?
Well, I think so.
I'm 847.
You are 847, and you're talking to me, so it's probably you.
That's Illinois.
I'm Fiber Hooligan. I'm Sandy, an angel mom on the in the chat room.
Well, hi.
Oh, I'm shaking. I'm excited.
That's wonderful. So you won a mystery box of yarn. Don't know what's going to be in it, but it's going to get into you. You know the drill to get that. Send me all your contact information to benjamin@fiberhooligan.com, and I'll make sure I get it over to the good folks at Craftsy so they can get that out to you.
I will. Thank you so much. It's been an enjoyable hour listening to it. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Sandy. It was great to meet you.
And it was nice meeting you and your wife. I can't wait to read some of her articles, too. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Sandy.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Let's take another caller. Again, caller, I don't think I've seen this area code before. So, again, folks, if you're calling in, turn down the volume on your podcast so we don't get the echo of death. Area code 256, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
I'm Kim from Alabama.
Hi, Kim from Alabama.
How are you?
I'm well, and yourself?
Hi, Kim.
I'm doing very well. I'm cold. It's cold here. It's not normal to be cold here.
Sorry about the loss the other night to the Sooners.
No. I'm an Auburn fan, War Eagle. We have a win tonight.
Okay. All right.
Well,
I'll be cheering for the Tigers. I will be cheering for the Tigers tonight.
You better be.
I will.
All right. Well, you have won a mystery box of yarn with the value of at least $100. And the way to redeem that is to send me your contact information. And since this is being shipped, I need your shipping contact information. Email me at benjamin@barbarahooligan.com. And, again, we'll get that information out over to the good folks at Craftsy and get that sent out to you.
Thank you. And, yes, I'm a new live listener. I usually just catch the podcast replay, but exciting.
Well, thank you
for
joining us.
Well, great to meet you, Kim.
Thank you so much. Enjoy the show.
Bye.
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 Well, that was pretty cool, don't you think, John?
Absolutely. I'm excited to send some wonderful boxes out to both Sandy and Kim, and I'm hopefully for Kim, the Auburn Tigers win tonight. You always got to be careful with the Alabama folks to not mix up the Crimson Tide and War Eagle faithful.
Yeah. Well, as you know, I'm not the sports guy, and I'm certainly not the sports person that your dear wife is. Boy, she's a sports person, but we won't get into
that. She sure is.
Yeah, I mean, she's fantasy football sports kind of person. She's, you know, yeah, I don't even want to get into it with her. I'll just look like an idiot. And frankly, I don't need help with that, John. I really don't. So for all of the other people that are trying to call in right now, I invite you to stop calling in because we've given away our two live ones. But I do invite you to join us up on our Ravelry group, Fiber Hooligans. Tammy Burke, our Fiber Hooligans moderator, will be starting a thread up there. And we will be drawing randomly sometime before in 2 weeks, actually. And we'll be giving away those other two mystery yarn boxes then. So, yeah, thank you very much. And thank you again, John, for your generosity.
Benjamin, it's been my pleasure. And I all kind of family reminiscing aside, whether we have the last name, same last name or not, it's been a gift to get to know you over the last 3 years. You're a man of integrity and intelligence, and I'm proud to know you and to have kind of connected with you through our current businesses. It's really something I value, and so thank you.
Totally, it's totally my pleasure. I mean, really, it's been a lot of fun because you and I have very similar ideas about politics and society, and we won't get into that because we don't want to get there. Let's move on here. So, what's next for Craftsy? What can you talk about? Any new classes that you're working on, or any new big things that you're doing?
Sure. So, right now, you know, we've got some really interesting, you know, in the fiber arts world, some really interesting courses coming up on color work and texture, you know, everywhere from beginner to advanced. You know, you know as well as me how hot kind of brioche is right now. And so we've got some neat classes coming up there. And we've also seen a big asks from our community for accessories classes. And so this is interesting in a number of ways. And I think it kind of fits into the psychology of how we all learn. So people love to take our accessories classes that involve difficult techniques, but that they can then apply to larger projects. So we've got some great accessory classes launching here in the next few weeks that people get the the kind of tangible project that they can finish and get the satisfaction there. But while doing that kind of discrete project, they develop the techniques that they can then apply to kind of larger and more complicated projects, which we, you know, we obviously have a lot of courses on those. On the crochet side, we have some interesting, we have a Fair Isle crochet course coming up in color work. And, so there's expect new classes in the knitting and crochet every week, every other week, a new one will come out. And so we you know, encourage folks to just go to craftsy.com and kind of go to the online classes area. And, there's free patterns. You can go to the supply shop, but also just kind of check out the courses. There's more coming on an ongoing basis. This is our mission, to continue to grow the depth of classes within our categories. So there's new ones coming out every month, and we're kind of increasing the amount of categories we have too. So expect to see in the next 2 to 3 months some additional categories launching as well. Or we continue to grow the food and cooking area, so a lot of great classes coming out in food and cooking as well. So and we'll continue to kind of move forward on quilting and sewing and jewelry making as well. So we hope to produce between 350 and 400 courses in 2014. So
wow. Wow. Let's digress here a little bit, because you're taking some Craftsy classes too, and I know that you're something you and your daughter do. You've done the cake decorating class. So John, tell us about the cake decorating. So are you good?
I'm a work in progress, Benjamin.
Aren't we all?
I realize as I'm doing them with my daughter, I realize I have to fight the instinct to be exactly like, God bless him, my own father, who when we used to do projects as a kid, would basically, I would play the role of essentially the scrub nurse and just hand him, various tools and implements, and then he would do the whole thing. So I try to allow Karen to take part in the actual the actual creation of the cake, rolling the fondant and cutting the fondant and spreading the buttercream and doing some of the designs. She's got the at age five still the hands of a sturgeon, as I like to say. She can tend to muck things up, so I've just got to let that flow. But a few times I do the after hours ones by myself, and I'm getting better. But it's like any of these kind of artistic categories, there's certain tricks and tips you learn from the classes that just save you so much time, and the kind of no-brainer errors that you make if you try to do it on your own. But part of the fun of it is trying it on your own too and making those mistakes. So I am progressing. It's a lot of fun. And I really do enjoy the look on people's faces when we bring a cake into a birthday party or an event, and everyone kind of says, "Oh, where did you get that? Where did you buy that?" And I can tell them that I actually made it. And so it's even for kind of adult like myself, it's a real feeling of kind of achievement. Plus I get to eat them, so that's good too.
Well, that's great. I just had to throw it in there because it was in your description, and I wanted to show people that you're taking the classes that you're selling as well, which is a great thing. We're winding down here pretty quickly. There's two more questions I'm going to ask you. The first question is, are there any shout-outs that you'd like to make today?
I the number one kind of shout out is to the folks that are here at Craftsy every day. You know, I mentioned Josh, Scott, and Brett Hanna, and Todd Tobin, and Emily Lawrence, but there are people here every day that wake up and come in with the mission that we have, which is to become the premier online destination for inspiration, education in the kind of crafts and hobby and art space. You know, and that's our customer service team, who works unbelievably long hours, our engineers, who are constantly looking for ways to make the site faster and better and keep our customers happy, our production team that's constantly looking for innovative ways to film multiple camera angles and different kind of motion graphics to make learning easier and better. Our acquisitions team is literally scouring the globe for the best instructors in our categories. And our what we call our e-com team, who's out at your shows and everywhere looking for the latest trends and projects and the kind of hottest yarns to sell on the site. I could name names forever, but you know, if you go to craftsy.com and go to the About and look at the team page, you can see just the diverse backgrounds and the wonderful people we've assembled here. And it's much like we talked about when I was in a band. It's surround yourselves with people who are better than you and who care just as much. And that's a great recipe for success.
Well, and I, you know, again, I've met a bunch of your team, and you do have really inspiring people there. You know, I enjoy all my interactions with them. All right, so we're winding back down, and this would be the last question that I ask. Before we wrap this up, I'd like to ask if you have a final message that you'd like to share with our listeners. It can be anybody and anything.
Gosh, I don't know. I mean, I would say we're 6 days into a new year. And, you know, I've made some personal resolutions and commitments this year to get better at some things and expand myself. Katie bought me 12 guitar lessons for Christmas. And so I'm going to start on that next week. And I would just, I would encourage everyone to let's make 2014 a year where we all try and increase our skills and expand our minds and get better at what we already do and learn things that we may not have tried. And you know, Craftsy is a great place to find that inspiration and take those classes. So I wish everyone a great 2014 and happy learning. And happy knitting, happy crochet, and whatever you may choose to do.
Well, thank you again for joining us today, John. I know you're an incredibly busy guy. So appreciate how generous you've been with your time. And I hope to see you at one of the shows a little later this year, or maybe I can even fly out to Denver and hang out with you and the Craftsy Gang for a day or two.
Love to have you in Denver, and I will definitely see you at Stitches West in late February in San Jose. I'll be ready for some sunshine at that point. And maybe there's sunshine here, but it'll be 40 degrees warmer there. So I will, I'll definitely see you there. And once again, Benjamin, thank you for all your advice and kind of kindness in the last 3 years to the folks here at Craftsy. And thank you for everything.
John, thank you. You have a great week.
Okay, you too, Benjamin. See ya.
See ya. Bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Craftsy's co-founder and CEO, John Levese. If you have not experienced everything that there is to be found at Craftsy, do yourself a favor and jump up to craftsy.com. Register, become an account member, get the notifications. You have no idea just how cool the stuff is there. You will be glad you did. You know what time it is.
And now it's time for State of the Hooligan with Tammy Burke.
I'd like to welcome, but she can't do it. I'd like to welcome back the moderator of our Fiber Hooligans Ravelry group and Fiber Hooligans Facebook group to tell us all what's new and cool in the fiber arts world. Our roving virtual reporter, my friend and fellow fiber hooligan, Tammy Burke. Tammy joins us again this morning from Boise, Idaho. Good morning, Tammy, and welcome back to the show.
That is so funny.
You just can't get through it, can you?
I'm trying. I almost snort.
We were taking bets on it last night. Do you think Tammy can get through the intro without cracking up?
No.
No one wanted to take the bet either. No one wanted to take. So how were the holidays?
It was peaceful and quiet, and that was a good thing. How about you?
They were good. 2 weeks off, you know, it seems like a long time to not talk to Fiber Hooligans, and we're about to do it again because of TNNA, but it was good. We did a lot of, my partner Bernie and I did a lot of work on hopscotch. We had a good Christmas, relaxing Christmas, relaxing New Year's. It's cold here. I think it's colder here than it is there right now. I think this is going to be the coldest point, and everything's uphill from there. So I'm going to choose to look at it a positive way.
There you go. And your dad was there for Christmas?
Yeah, you bet. He really he enjoyed that interview quite a bit. He I'm going to have him on again. And Alexi and Elaine, they were here as well. So what did you think of John?
I think that he sounds like he could be a closer cousin related to you than he actually is. That Katie's a hoot. I've already started following her and messaging her back and forth on Facebook just since we've been talking. So,
I'm telling you guys, I mean, now that I'm no longer on social media, I have to make a point of finding certain things, because before, every single time that Katie wrote something, I'd get a message in my feed, but probably weekly, I go and search on the Flip Collective site, or I take a look at the newest download of Cartel Magazine, which is a subscription thing, it's a digital thing, and find if she's got something in it, because she truly is one of the funniest people I've ever read. It's amazing. And you guys should know, today on the show was the first time I've ever heard Katie's voice.
Oh, wow. How sweet that she called. I've already bookmarked and linked everything so that the Fiber Hooligans in our Ravelry group can find even the V-Day post. I'm looking forward to reading that myself.
Oh, it's great. Well, and, you know, John, I think you have to admit, is definitely an honorary Fiber Hooligan. And Katie's, I mean, there's some hooligan there, don't you think?
Yes, I think I hope they'll be back.
I hope so, too. Somebody said in the chat room that I should have Katie on as a guest by herself, and I'm thinking that's not the worst idea in the world.
Yes, please twist your arm.
Okay, well, I'll try. So we've got some prize giveaways that we have to get through today, don't we?
Yeah, so let's get right at that, especially now that everybody's given their gifts for the holidays, now that some of our listeners can receive some. First up, we were going to do the Amy Herzog opening day presentation from Stitches South in Atlanta. On that topic, we had 9 comments, and then random number generator picked number 3, which was RX Knit Chick, I think, who is Mary from North Carolina. Her comment was that she was thinking about going to Stitches, but when she heard that Amy was the headline act, it sounds like the casino. She immediately asked for time off. I hope to take her class itself, but I have her book and I'm enrolled in the crafty class. I just need buttons on my first sweater. Love Amy's work, and because she has the first sweater that fits, which was, I think, Amy's goal in producing that program. And she would love to hear her speak live.
She's won the opening day and the opening day lunch at Stitches South.
Yes.
Great.
So, and I've linked her in the forum on Ravelry. So if I don't hear from her, I'll be PMing her later this afternoon. So make sure she's all set up to get to go to that. There was 3 items that we were giving away from the episode with David Zanakis. By the way, everyone, all the comments were positive in the group. We had, I think, almost 40 comments about that, and everybody wants to hear him again, and one person suggested perhaps a yearly thing, so I think that would be an awesome idea too, right before the holidays, having some family time, I think was pretty inspirational.
All right, well, I think...
Go ahead.
No, please, go ahead.
For the two-year subscription to Knitters Magazine, the random number generator picked number 18, which was Ravelry screen named Dr. Sabrina S., or Sabrina from Wyoming. Her comment was, it was fascinating to hear the story of XRX and the family multi-generational company. Would love to hear Benjamin and David talk about being men in the fiber world. So that's a topic for next time.
Okay.
And then Laura Bryant's book, Artful Colors, Artful Mindful Knits. Random number generator pick number 26, who is painter mom, Susan from Massachusetts. Her comment was, I love listening to the interview. It especially tickled me how similar Benjamin and David's voices are. My late mother, my sisters, and I have very similar voices, too. Edited to add that she loved the part about David taking over the symphony because the same thing happened to her dad at the Milwaukee Ballet. So that was pretty cool.
Very cool.
And then for tickets to the dinner and fashion show at the Stitches event of their choice, the random number generator picked number 9, who is Holly Berry, or Holly from the state of New York, so I imagine she'll want to go to Stitches East. She loved this episode, especially those mellow voices. The contrast between father's outrageous acts and the son's conservative driving was entertaining. Did you know? She said she'd love to hear the stories about the wonderful fiber shop and that started it all and would have loved to have lived nearby. So, like I said, I'll message everyone in the Ravelry group. Speaking about the Ravelry group, I just wanted to say we are now at 526 members in that group, which is, and then at Facebook, our group is 290. I just wanted to say I appreciate everybody's participation and help spreading the word, which just demonstrates to me how much that we are all appreciating your program, Benjamin, and that we're learning what all we are learning about the fiber industry.
Well, thank you very much. But, you know, again, the groups, you had to twist my arm to do them, and I'm glad you did. And the show wouldn't be the same show, and our fiber hooligan community wouldn't be a community without you, Tammy. So take a bow yourself.
Oh, thank you.
All
this
right.
week I wanted
so
to share...
Let's hear what you have to say.
Downton Abbey?
Downton Abbey.
Do you watch that?
I have watched one episode, loved it, and then have seriously forgot to go back and follow up on it. But it's a big thing.
It is huge. And I hope that I don't get squealy fangirl over it. But I have loved Masterpiece Theater for years because they always do these great, beautiful, dramatic depictions of the books that I've always loved, like Dickens or Jane Austen. So Downton Abbey's getting the recognition that it has for my favorite television program, that I feel like everybody's starting to join me in my love of this program. So last night was the first episode of season 4 here in the U.S. Listeners in the U.K., that would be the same as the first and second episodes that they watched last fall. In a couple weeks, the Masterpiece Theater is actually divided into two sections, which is Masterpiece Classic and Masterpiece Mystery. In a couple weeks, the Sherlock Holmes with Benedict Cumberbatch is going to be starting. So that's something I would recommend, too. What does this have to do with knitting? The time periods in Downton Abbey have been meticulously researched. The program began with the sinking of the Titanic, and the show shows how communities survived the war and supported its soldiers, and then changes to their world after the war, so you can see the different fashions. But not only that, there's been glimpses of knitting in the program. During the war scene time period, there was knitting being done in the servants' public areas, I guess, below downstairs. Here in the real world, real time, there's been lots of inspired knitting with the Downton Abbey, the unofficial Downton Abbey knits from Interweave Press, but there's been also, there was before that Life at Downton Abbey, which was an e-book. There's lots of patterns. If you search for Downton Abbey patterns on Ravelry, you'll find socks and shawls and cowls and scarves and an incredible amount of stuff. Even our good friend Heather Ordover has designed a great, cute little beret based on one of the downstairs kitchen maids' little hat that she was wearing in the program. So there's actually right now, and yesterday being the first episode, yesterday was also the first installment from Jimmy Bean's Wool. They are doing a mystery knit-along shawl based on Mr. Bates, which, as what viewers know, is the valet to Lord Grantham. So I think it's, I don't know if you can even get the yarn on back order, because they were so excited about this. They ordered four times the amount of yarn for this knit-along than they ordered for last year's knit-along, and it sold out, I believe, like within one day, I think I saw. So everybody's back-ordered. I myself am using yarn for my stash to follow along with the pattern. I think it's pretty exciting. A lot of people, like 400 people seem to be signed up to get to knit-along on this thing. Pretty cool.
That's very cool. And for you fiber hooligans that missed any of that, I'm sure we'll be posting some links in our Ravelry group, a little more expanded coverage of some Downton Abbey-related knitting stuff that's going on. I love it when you do your segments and it relates to, you know, the entertainment world, too. You always do a great job of researching this stuff, Tammy, and great report today.
Thank you. Happy 2014 Monday in January, all in one.
Starting our first Monday and being able to talk to you, it absolutely will be a Monday despite the cold. So thank you very much for being on the show again, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Yes. Thanks, Benjamin.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
That was Tammy Burke, host of State of the Hooligan and moderator of our Fiber Hooligans Facebook group and Fiber Hooligans Ravelry group. For those of you who may have missed anything in this podcast, I invite you to join us on one of our, or both of our groups. Tammy does a great job of making sure we answer questions and provide links and follow-up to anything you might have heard on the show. As you know, we had to reschedule J.C. Breyer's interview, and the good news is she is rescheduled, and she will be joining us now in 3 weeks on January 27th. Next Monday, we won't be having a show. I thought about it, but I decided against it. I'm sure sorry about that, but my Hopscotch web partner, Bernie Berg, and I will be in sunny San Diego, California at TNNA. And if you're going to the show, we invite you to come over to the booth 9:30 and harass us for a while. No, seriously, we'd love to meet you, so please stop on by and say hello. But we'll be back in 2 weeks on January 20th with Rosemary Hill from Designs by Romy. If you don't know about Romy, let me tell you just a little bit about her. Romy learned to crochet and bead in preschool. After begging incessantly, Romy's mother finally relented and taught her to knit as well. According to Romy, it was love at first stitch. She knit on and off throughout several phases of life until 2002. When she resumed knitting passionately after a long hiatus, discovering the internet knitting community in the process. Learning to knit lace prompted the 2005 founding of her company, Designs by Romy, selling handmade shawl pins and sweater closures. In 2006, she began designing knit jewelry and lace. Her patterns have appeared in several books, in Interweave Knits, Knit Scene, Knitty, Twist Collective, and Interweave Press published her first book, Elements of Style, Knit Plus Crochet Jewelry with Wire, Fiber, Felt, Plus Beads in 2008. Besides being uber talented, Romy is also one of the sweetest people you could possibly meet, and I'm very excited to have her on the show. I hope you'll join us for that show so I can share this wonderful woman with all of you. I want to make sure that you know that I'm eager to hear from you. You can email me questions, recommendations, critiques, and feedback at benjamin@fiberhooligan.com. And that includes suggestions for guests or cool things that you'd like Tammy or me to talk about. I don't promise to respond to every email or message, but I do promise to do my best to read them all. And if you ask a really great question or have an inspired idea, I may even read your email or comment on the air. Well, that's our show, Fiber Hooligans. As we slide on out of here today, I'd like to wish you all a glorious week. Remember, the only thing better than being creative is being kind to each other. The good news, you can do both. Thank you for spending this time with us. we'll see you in 2 weeks for another edition of Fiber Cool.